Well, we're entering the new year, and it's time for our weekly Fargo Force Coaches Conversation. A couple weeks off, letting the coaches honestly probably take a break from Jace and I, really. we're joined tonight by Fargo Force Associate Head Coach Jimmy Mullen. Coach, hopefully you enjoyed the holidays, and you're doing great entering the new year. How great was it overall for you and your family, and then also for the players on the team, to get that week and a half or so off for Christmas to visit family, to go through some of the holiday traditions, and not necessarily be on the ice grinding for, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours a day for a couple weeks?
Yeah, no, obviously, well, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you guys. And from our standpoint, it's always nice to recharge the batteries. I think from a coaching staff, your message is always clear and the same, but then once you get a little bit break, and then they start dialing in a little bit more, right? So I think from a family standpoint, I know for myself, we stayed in Fargo, I was telling you about my two-year-old, got around some outdoor rinks. So it was like kind of fun to like create some memories here in town. And then for the rest of our guys, obviously we've got guys from all over. And you know, you come back and there's different stories. You're getting out of the normal day to day. And I think that's super important. And we're lucky enough that our league gives a break like that, right? Cause some don't. And in reality, it's good for everybody, but I think with a couple days, even heading into Christmas, I think everybody's chomping at the bit to talk about hockey and get back going. And kid showed up on the 26th evening, and we were back at it that evening.
Awesome. And also a little bit piggybacking off of that a hair, this weekend you guys have three home games. You have a Wednesday night game against Lincoln, then you welcome Tri-City in Friday and Saturday. I understand you guys were off for a week and a half, but you had a handful of road games prior to Christmas, post-Christmas, and now you guys are back home at the friendly confines of Shields Arena for a handful of games. How great is it to be back in that home environment behind the hometown crowd as you guys enter the new year?
It's awesome. I think, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, we talked about, like I alluded to, the outdoor rinks. Like, I think this is just a hockey city. And for, like, you drive around, you see kids playing out in the rinks. You see people, like, I'm walking in the mall, I'm seeing Fargo Force jerseys. It's a pretty cool environment. And obviously, this whole town buys into it. So it's nice being back in here for us. And I obviously, the New Year's Eve game and then the Friday, Saturday, we're hoping now that football's starting to wind down and the Vikings are atrocious, so we're actually, it's kind of nice, hopefully every whole eyes are turned on us now.
Well, in alluding, just a quick side note to what you mean with pond hockey thing, I'm not even touching the football thing because that's a train wreck for me. But when I was in college, I tell you, just on your average, you know, weekend day, like a Saturday or a Sunday, you'd just be driving around Fargo or Moorhead, and you have all these rinks all around the housing developments, and there's kids out there playing hockey, there's adults out there playing hockey. A couple of my buddies and I thought that, you know, we were maybe a little bit better at skating than we actually were. So we puffed our chests out, went up against some of the Moorhead, 10 and 11 year old mites a few years ago. I'm not kidding when I say we lost like 10 to 1 each time. Those kids skated circles around us, and now a couple of them are playing the USHL and in college hockey. I mean, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I just think it's such a fun community for hockey. It's so high level, everything. And then, of course, to have high-level juniors hockey in town as well, I think it's just tremendous.
Well, I think you're spot on. I think it's, to me, coming from the last few places, like outdoor rinks weren't like ideal, like just because of either the temperature or just the infrastructure isn't there or whatever. But for me, like I'm a huge fan of free play. Like I'm a big advocate for like organized chaos, whether it's like you said, like you got 30-year-olds putting the gear on, playing against younger kids. I just think it challenges the brain. And for me, looking at these kids going out there, like they're competing and they're learning how to compete and they're learning how to make plays on horrible ice, right? So it's actually, it's not just private lesson 101, even though I do those, and I think that there's a benefit to either. But like watching kids in this city, like then you look at, like, I'm sure, like, you got Cullen and Mattern and Penner and, like, other guys that are, like, local. I'm sure that they benefited from the access. And I think hockey, not to make this a political stance, but hockey is an expensive sport. And when I'm driving by in the city of West Fargo. I'm stopping, talking to guys that are literally watering the ice. I said, how? I'm like, I just stopped and asked them. They're like, how do you do this? They're like, yeah, we've got four rinks in West Fargo and we take care of them as much as we can. And they're even like, the force ever want to practice out here, just let us know. We'll get a waiver, talk to blah, blah, blah. I start laughing. I'm like, this is, I'm in a spot where I think it checks all the boxes. And that's why it's kind of fun seeing those people in the stands and cheering for the force. So.
Oh. Absolutely, Coach. Obviously, shameless plug, Jimmy Mullen private hockey lessons there. so contact Jimmy for all your hockey one-on-one needs. When we talk about one-on-one, obviously, James and I were there doing some in-the-box interviews yesterday. I was having some good conversations with the guys that we were interviewing yesterday, Nick and Zaid and Graham and Arsini. And we're talking with them, and we see you out there working with one of the players. And, man, I'm like, man, he must have gotten in trouble or something, because it reminded me of having to do ladders in basketball practice back in the day. But you were just simply out there working with him, getting him back in game shape because he had missed a few games. But the other interesting point you made before we had started this conversation this morning was the fact that it also allows you an opportunity to kind of have some one-on-one time with that player and kind of coach him up, because as you said, they're out of breath and you get a chance to talk and all they can do is really listen, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, like everybody is in their own like spot of the season, right? Like there's some young kids that are trying to get their conditioning up because maybe they're not playing the minutes that they have in the past. And like, but for this one, it was like more of an like injury, getting him back. He's healthy now. And I like just alluding to the conversations, like it's like you get a chance as a coach, like there's a few moments where you get to kind of go through the battle with them a little bit. And obviously I'm not the one skating. I've done that in my career, but I was able to kind of talk through some challenges, talk through like what I hope to see going forward for them, and just like, or what our staff sees going forward. And I think sometimes you probably heard me yelling and don't quit, don't stop your feet, mm-hmm. don't stop. And I think for me, you get a chance to instill belief in these kids that they have another layer of pushing that they don't mm-hmm. think to realize. And I think I'm probably a mix of like an old school and new school. Like I love the relationships, but I love the hard coaching. But I think if you do it with your heart and you're genuine and you're with them through it. And like, I mean, like, so Carson and Skins were pushing Westy when he first got here, mm-hmm. but they were doing the skating and I pretended that I was tying my skates in the corner. So like, I think there's many, there's plenty of times like as a coach, you get a chance to talk to them mm-hmm. off the ice and banter, but like on ice, I think it's when their attention span and their mind is completely in it, and you get a chance to have a really good, serious, thoughtful conversation.
Well, and here's the thing, though. This is radio. You could have easily said that you were literally leading this player up and down the ice, out skating them. I mean, we would have not known had you not said that you were just, you know, coaching them up. But when it comes to, you know, having these conversations, and you mentioned, you know, kind of what you've seen from them and what you expect kind of or you want to see from them in the future. Now, take that a broader view and look at the team. We're at kind of the unofficial halfway point of the season. We got tonight's game. The first game from the weekend series against Tri-City will be the official halfway point of the season. What have you seen from this team that you've been really pleased with as a coach? What have you seen them develop from day one to the midway point that you've been really happy with?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I think we've found a way in different ways, whether we relied on goaltending, whether we get a timely goal, whether it's somebody else chipping in. I think that we've won in multiple ways. And I think it's, I guess, more to like twist your comment. I think mm-hmm. it'd be really nice for us to like really identify what and who we're going to be. And I think for us, like, I think like I've really liked some of us, our games defensively. I don't know if I've loved it lately. Like I've loved some of our like efforts, right? I think we have more of a consistent 60 minute game that everybody's going to try to find after break. And I think the way that we've structured our return has actually helped us, obviously winning two games. But I mean, I love I love our chances. Like, we're getting the opportunities. I think we've got guys that are always around it. I think that there's a genuine care factor around development with our guys. But I do think that we're coming in the part of the season where I think it would be nice to kind of put an exclamation point on some of our wins. It'd be nice to add a couple more goals. And to be honest with you, I think we're our movement and our puck movement in the ozone and our ability to navigate that. And I think there's a chance for us to kind of find a blue collar, blue chip mentality at the net front that we're going to keep finding. And I think that's more of a decision that we're challenging them with going forward. And now that we've got a new kid in the locker room and things have been shuffling a little bit, sometimes that just happens naturally with like, oh man, I got a chance to, like, I don't want to lose my spot. I don't want to do this. So now it's like, I'm going to play harder in the hard areas. And I think I love where we're at. I love our goaltending. And I think now it's time to tighten the screws and fine tune a little bit.
Well, kind of, you've already kind of mentioned it. So if you want to elaborate just a little bit more, if there's anything specific, but you kind of alluded to it, but what would you like to see this team get better at? Obviously, I know that we've talked to multiple coaches on the staff, head coach Skinner, et cetera. Obviously, you guys have been winning games. You're, I believe, in second place in the Western Conference. But the goal scoring for your team has been a bit, you know, it's been hard to come by at times. And sometimes it's just about the bounces, you know, et cetera, kind of going your way. And it's obviously great to start the second half of the season with a couple of wins. But what would you also like to see the team improve upon as we go forward into 2026?
Yeah, I think some of our situational awareness moments, I think against Sioux Falls, we gave up way too many line rushes, and that starts with either a D stepping or it starts from a lack of a track. I think that there's I guess I'm going to sum it up so I don't go long-winded. It's like winning moments. And I think those are sometimes you're thinking with your brain. Sometimes it's thinking with I want to beat this guy one on three or beat these guys one on three, but yep, this isn't my shift to do something spectacular. I might as well just get a good line change, right? Mm-hmm. I think our game management, situational management, and that comes with growth. I mean, I think a few conversations ago with me, we talked about how we had a lot of new faces here, including myself, including the staff. And I think as you get towards the midpoint to tail end of the season, the expectation is clear. What you're expected to do is clear. And now it's like, okay, now like all the, now that we have those two games after break, I think we roll now. And then just to quote Skins, it's like, now we roll. So it's more of, I'd like to see our guys be able to have the game slow down mentally, execute at a high level. Like, I mean, execution's the name of the game. And I think it doesn't need to be a goal every time, but the effort and the thought process is kind of where we're heading as a staff and kind of what we want to see.
Now I got kind of a two-part question here, because you mentioned you have a new player joining the team kind of right around, you know, right during break. You traded away Alan Lendak, one of your goaltenders, and goaltending has been obviously a strength of this team in the first half of the season. Both Alan and AJ have been playing really well in net. I did notice that someone had posted in like the fans group that a former Force goaltender, Dane Calloway, had a shutout, I believe, for Waterloo. I think that's where he's at. But you bring in a new player, so obviously it seems like this program, this franchise can really, number one, develop goaltender. So obviously you'll have another goaltender face in the room that will be taking some reps, hopefully get some game time as well. But AJ obviously is your solid number one. So talk a little bit about the goaltending situation, then also what you get in return for trading Allen. I believe you got a forward in the deal. I don't have it in front of me right now. So talk a little bit about the bringing in a new player over the Christmas break.
Yeah, and you know, it's a credit to obviously the management in terms of like Kerry Eads and Skins and Jackson Keene and the scouting staff that was a part of that before. Like they've, I mean, and in order to have good goaltending, you got to draft good goalies, right? You got to have an eye. And I think going into the trade, I think there's many different reasons you do something, right? And I think more of a credit to Lendo and a credit to AJ, like there's one net. Like if we played a two net game, I think we're keeping both of them and being really happy, but we don't. And in reality, the I'm not going to begin to, I'm not the GM, I'm not the guy that's making the final decisions, but we had an opportunity to seize on something that we believe can check a box this year, check a box next year, right? And when you have Belladonna and a Ford asset and a first round phase two the following year, it's like, it's kind of, you weigh the options, and the last thing, we never wanted to get rid of Lindo. I don't think that's ever the case, but you know what? He's a heck of a goaltender. He's already showed it in the World Juniors this year. Again, he had an amazing shutout before the break. I think it's, and guess what? He's uncommitted. He's a kid that's his agent and himself, like, they're competitive people, and who doesn't want to play more? But when you've got two awesome goaltenders that are fighting for one spot, we as an organization, we had to make a really tough decision. And obviously we know fans and people are affected by that, but in the reality of it, what we do is what we think is best for our team and organization. And I think going forward, we're really happy for Lindo that he's going to be able to be the guy. And hopefully that doesn't bite us in the butt. But in reality, that's you never make a decision that's based off of your emotions. It was based off of what we think is best for the Fargo Force and our community.
Well, and that's obviously, and that's the interesting part, talking with you and the other coaches about, you know, transactions like that, because a lot of times, you know, the fan base, I won't say we get overly attached to players, because we know that the short time that they will be with our organization, whether they never get traded or not. But it's sometimes you have to take into consideration about why you're making these trades. I know a couple of years ago we traded away a couple of players, but we were building for assets that we needed to recoup from all the trades that were made making those Clark Cup runs. So it's a part of the process, and it's always just fascinating to hear from you guys kind of breaking it down as to why it was done, as opposed to, like, you know, it's never about, well, we just didn't like this kid, so we got rid of him. It's about managing assets and getting prepared so that you can always be obviously competitive this year and years going forward.
For sure. And to, like, to at least say thank you, Lindo. Like, it's easy. Like, a kid came here and works every single day, and everybody comes to this league with bigger and better dreams, and hopefully this is a chance for him to get the college commitment he wants, to get the recognition he wants. And for us, like, I think this is a decision to where hopefully Belladonna comes in, and I think he came in with 8 goals. We're excited for us to see what he adds to our lineup and our special teams and our offensive spunk. Like, he's a fast twitch kid that's got great personality. He seems like a natural leader on the ice in terms of his work ethic and his habits. So I think everybody's gaining from this. And I think that's a huge part of every trade, right? Everybody feels that they're winning, and then time will tell to see who made the right decision.
Awesome. Well, hey, one final question. We don't want to hold you up too long today, Coach. We always appreciate you giving us a few extra minutes, but just in kind of side note fashion, with the World Juniors currently going on, the IIHF with it, a lot of it taking place in Minnesota, which is pretty darn cool as a Minnesotan, but whether you're talking about the Americans who have punched their ticket to the next round, the Canadians, Swedes, whichever, is an odd question probably, but is it an opportunity, a good opportunity for the different guys in the team to bond off the ice, watching something like that, seeing some high level players play, and then maybe the friendly rivalries as well, whether you have you know, Americans on your team, or you have, you know, Canadians or different players from around the world, if that question kind of makes sense.
No, it does. I think it's funny. We had to stay an extra night in Omaha due to the blizzard and the winds. And I'm coming back, like, we're coming back on the bus, and everybody's on their phones watching. It was like, I don't know if it was Latvia versus whomever. It's just like, I think every one of these kids are at the age where they played against somebody, like, they know somebody, right? Like, whether it's a international kid, whether it's a Canadian or American. I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, I'm watching Lofgren tuning into the Sweden game. I'm sure he's got connections there. I've got Crater asking about watching the Canada game on the way back, or at least just one of the games. But I know that Porter Martone plays at Michigan State. He's committed there, right? So everybody's got, like, a vested interest. And for me, that 2006 age group was like, a group that I was with at the national team. And like, I'm watching that kid, watching that those kids, like they're the 17-year-olds and now they're like men destroying college hockey. It's like funny for me because I just get to be a fan. And I think we're all learning what they're doing. And I mean, they're doing it at a high level. And so if you're asking me who I'm cheering for, I'm not cheering for anybody besides USA. And I'm going to keep it that way.